I like that one.
All right. Thank you, guys. Hey, guys, if you want to get out your outlines, we're still in this series, Living with a Margin, and we're going to remain there. Aren't you glad the school's starting back? All right. Maybe this is perfect timing for a lot of us. It's going to be entitled Starting Your Day Right. Now, in a lot of ways, just for me, we're talking about for me, the best way for me to start my day is slowly and quietly with a quiet time with the Lord. Because if I start rushed, I'm going to stay rushed. But if I start slow and with a quiet time with the Lord, then most of my day will be with the Lord. And I have a choice to make, to let God set the pace and set the agenda for my day. So that's what we're going to start with. If you want to go ahead and fill in that first outline, the most important rule is this: slow down for a quiet time. Slow down for a quiet time. I love the book of Matthew. It says, and I love it in the Message translation, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is Jesus saying this. Then he says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. First thing we got to do, the first step is this. Slow down to read God's word. Slow down to read God's word. I'm going to be kind of disagree. I'm going to go ahead and put a disclaimer out there. There's some things that I'm going to be disagreeing with millennials about. And I do not mind if you're wrong. I want to go ahead and tell you that. But this is where it starts. And I'm glad he didn't leave it to us to try to figure it out on our own, how to live this Christian life. And instead, he gave us his word. And instead, he gave us the Holy Spirit to direct our lives and to tell us how to live. You see, the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired when it was written by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit inspires you and I when we read it. Two things happen there when we read it. It's words of life. It's hope. It's direction. It's comfort. It's inspiration. The Holy Spirit will bring life, and it comes alive. And without the word of God, we are headed in the wrong direction. We'll become confused. So get into the word of God. And guys, it's not just to have it, it's not enough just to have it on the coffee table or the nightstand. I remember talking to a man about a club that he was trying to get me to join. And one of the things was, we got the Bible out at every meeting. It never was read, but it was out. You see, we got to have the Bible in our heart. A man once told me about the Bible sitting around. He says, the Bible ain't no good luck charm. It has to be read. It has to be in our heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God can meet you and me in any book of the Bible, on any page of the Bible, in any verse of scripture in the Bible, All of it is breathed out by his Spirit. And when you read it, it's like you breathing it in, inhaling all of it. And it can speak to you if you and I will take the time to listen. And I love to talk about quiet time because I was kind of scared of quiet time for a long time. But it's been so good for me. When I first started hearing of quiet time, when I went to church a little while when I was around 12 for about 3 years. And I remember some of the folks would talk about this one guy, and they said that, man, he prays for hours a day. Hours a day, he just prays. And I thought, I could never do that. Even at 12, I knew I didn't have the attention span to pray for hours a day. And then they talked about how he had read the Bible like 16 times. And I thought, I don't know how he done that. And you know what I done? I got on a guilt trip and went and got one of those guilt trip Bibles that you can spend reading a year and read it. And it's in the King James Version, of course, because that's the translation that Jesus read. Y'all get that? That was sarcasm. But I remember trying to read. I said, January 1st, I'm going to read it from Genesis to Maps in 365 days. I didn't make it. Now, I made it through Genesis and Exodus pretty good because it's full of neat stories. You know, people killing and family squabbles and all kind of stuff. But then I got into the begats. And I realized right then I set myself up for failure. So I want to teach you what I was taught from men and women along my journey that made every big difference in the world to me. I want you to write this down right here. Bible reading and prayer are not two separate activities. They are two parts of a conversation. Bible reading and prayer are not two separate activities. They're two parts of conversation. A conversation with God. God tells you in the Bible, and then you talk to him in prayer. So find a quiet place. Get your Bible, journal, and go spend a few minutes with the Lord. And I'm going to say get a real Bible. I'm going to say get one that you can write in. I know you millennials are going for the YouVersion and all that, but get a real Bible, and I'll get to why. Matthew 6:6 says this. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. That means you can be who you are. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. So you start by letting God begin the conversation, but go ahead and do a small prayer first. Lord, here I am. Open my eyes, my ears, and my heart. And then you get in the Word. And I want to tell you something. If you have trouble understanding what you're reading, then find another translation in the Bible. I use the NIV right now, my kind of go-to translation, the ESV, and I use the NLT, and I use the Message a lot. You'll see me sharing that with y'all a lot, but I like those four, and I want to tell you something. You don't have to read the King James versions to hear from God and read his Word. Get you one that you understand. And the second thing is this. Hold on to this and write this down. Read for depth and not distance. Read for depth and not distance. What I mean by that is don't speed read your way through Scripture. Slow it down and thinking about it. Think about it. Reading the Bible is not a race. I like to call it an exploration. And what do you do when you explore? You take your time. You take your time. You slow down. You slow down. What's the next verse here? James 1:25. Where am I at here? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be what? Blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed. Now I want you to underline that word intently. Intently. What Bible meditation is this. It's filling your mind with the word of God. And I'll give you an example. Take your pen. And besides, also, when you're doing your quiet time, always have a pen. Always have a pen. But take your pen right now. Let's go back to this verse I just read, James 1, 25. And I want you to circle the word intently. It just means to look deeply. Then I want you to circle the word freedom. Freedom comes from looking into the word of God that you're no longer in bondage and rules and regulations that people have tried to put on you. Circle the word continues. Continues means it's going to be a habit, this quiet time. It needs to be a habit, not just one every once in a while. Then circle heard. Heard. This is why I want you to circle heard. I think it's interesting that it didn't say what has been read, but what has been heard. Because it just confirms it to me that God will speak to you through his word. So when you read the Bible, and I'm asking you to do when you read the Bible, read with your ears. Read with your ears. And then circle the word doing in that verse. We're still in James 1:25. Doing. Doing just simply means putting it into practice. And when you do these things, it says you will be blessed. And see, that's just kind of an example. It's what I might do with one verse. And that one verse may be all you read in one day. And I want to tell you, that's fantastic. Because you can look at this thing, this verse, and say, how does this verse change my perspective? How can I apply this verse to my life today? You see, you can't meditate on Scripture quickly. You can't look intently. If you take that first word, intently, you can't look intently in a hurry. So if you want to be blessed, you and I, we got to slow down. And here's a blessing, the next verse, that tells you that the Bible will keep you from sinning. I was able to do this yesterday using a verse I remember. But let me read Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yesterday I was able, it's been 3 or 4 years since I took a blue chip from Celebrate Recovery. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with rage. I have not lost my temper in 3 or 4 years. And one of the reasons is because of that. I got that started with that blue chip. And then I began to search for verses that I could hide in my heart because that's what they had instructed me to do. And I hid a verse in my heart of Proverbs 16:9. Now, one of the things that used to make me fly off the handle was something that didn't go according to my plan. And I would just fly off the handle. Yesterday, Luke and Anna and I had planned to go to Kennesaw to do some things, and you know, it was my Sabbath. And I wanted to kind of hang out with them for a little while. And so we picked up Anna. We pulled out. Guess what happened? My air conditioner went out on my red truck. I don't know about y'all, but when my air conditioner goes out, my truck is down. It's going to the shop. Well, only my side was out. Their side was on. I didn't care about their side. My side was blowing heat. I said, we're going to get in the white truck. Well, we get to the white truck, and I had had the camper hooked up for about a week, and I forgot to unplug it to the white truck. So the battery was dead. And, you know, I told Luke, I said, well, you know, I know me, and between me and you, we've lost our jumper cables. Go to town, get me some jumper cables. And all I could think about was Proverbs 16:9. You know, go ahead and make your plans, but the Lord will direct your steps. And I said, Lord, we had plans to go to Marietta. We're supposed to be down there about this time. And so when they got back, he and Anna got back with the jumper cables. I said, this is a Proverbs 16:9 day. And they looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, you look it up. I said, guys, I said, according to what I read here and what I believe as I've been praying and thinking about where y'all gone, the Lord could have been saving us from an accident on 75. I said, we'll get where we're going. We'll get because that's what's happening. I said, but the Lord is protecting us, and I'm just going to believe that we're going by his steps, not by my plans. Always listen to him. You can make your plans, but change your steps. Or he'll direct your steps. And I said, he has changed our steps. And I said, because since y'all have been gone, I pulled the red truck down here to jump the white truck off, and guess what's working now on my side? The air conditioner was. I said, so I'm going to choose to believe that the Lord has his hand in this. And we took the red truck on, and we made it. And everything, I could go on and tell you how everything worked out great, how everything was fine. Luke was concerned about something, and everything worked out good. It was happy times because the God had directed our steps, and he changed some things. But I say that all to say is the reason it worked out for me and I didn't lose my temper was because, A, I made a commitment at CR, and, B, I had a verse hidden in my heart. Had a verse hidden in my heart. It reminded me of something someone told me one time. It says, show me a Bible that's fallen apart, and I'll show you a life that ain't. Hide some scripture in your heart. Show me a Bible that's falling apart, and I'll show you a life that ain't. Second step to slowing down is this. Slow down to hear God's voice. Slow down to hear God's voice. The more you know God's word, the better you hear his voice. Talk to God. Ask him questions. But here's my thing. Don't be surprised if he answers you. Don't be surprised if he answers you. Because he wants to talk to you every day. I know some of you guys really love Isaiah. Isaiah 50 says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. God is trying to talk to me and you every day. Every day he's trying to talk to us. But I'm going to tell you something. Either you don't know his voice, because people tell me all the time that they don't hear God. Well, you don't know his voice, or you're too busy to listen. That's your two options. You either don't know his voice or you're too busy to listen. Don't let the busy of your day drown out the voice of God. Let me give you an acronym for busy. Just write out busy. I'm going to give you a good acronym here. Being under Satan's yoke. When you're busy, you're being under Satan's yoke. Because you see, margin that we're talking about is the opposite of busy. Because having a margin is saying, I'm going to value my quiet time with God. That it's the most important part of my day. So that's where I'm going to invest my time in. You know, I've told y'all before that the way you start your day has a profound impact on the way that the rest of the day goes. But see, it's easy for me to say that. I'm a morning person. And I understand that. But if we had to be honest, some people ain't morning people. Am I right? Some of you guys ain't even Christians before 8 a.m. I'm telling you. I've run into you before. So you just may need to, on your way to work, you just turn off the radio. And pray and listen just right before your work day, or maybe even at lunch. You know, eat real quick for 15 minutes and then have 15 minutes of quiet time. Or some of you guys may be better at night. Now, for me, don't talk to me after 8:30. You know, that's why I said I'm leaving at 5 o'clock today, because, you know, I'm getting ready for bed at 5 o'clock. But tonight, instead of binge watching 6 hours of Netflix, just watch 5 and save that last hour, you know, I say hour or 15 minutes, for a quiet time with God. But the point of this is value your margin enough to spend some time with him, because God wants to speak to you. Real quick, I want to give you two ways to say, how do you know if it's God or the devil talking to you? You got to be able to discern that. Number one, write this down. God's voice will never contradict God's word. God's voice will never contradict God's word. Number two, the enemy pushes you, or he pressures you. That's what the devil will do, but God will always pull you. And here's what I mean by that. The enemy pushes you, God pulls you close to him. The word says he draws us in. He encourages us. He stretches us. And what I mean by that, he stretches our faith and to grow us and to build our faith. Does that make any sense? Those are the two ways to discern. Now, I want to give you three common ways real quick of how God speaks to us. Number one, filling in your blanks. God speaks to us through his word. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that because I already spent a lot of time on it. God speaks to us through his word. The more you read God's word, the more you're going to realize that the word is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says this, the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The second way that God speaks is God speaks to us through his creation. If you want to learn about his character, about God's character, then spend some time in what he's created. Take a hike. You know, go to the park. And my wife's going to love me for saying this. Go to the beach. If you will spend time with him, his creation, the stars, I mean, he will begin to speak to you. His power. The colors of the star to me show his creativity. Romans 1 says this, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through what has been made. So people are without excuse. Number three, the other way that God speaks is this. There's many ways. These are just three of the common ways. God speaks through his still small voice. God speaks through his still small voice. We're talking about Elijah here in this next verse. Elijah was afraid or scared, wherever you come from, and he was in this cave. And he was just desperate to hear God's voice. Let me read what he said here on the backside. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice was how he spoke to Elijah. A whisper. You know, I've been talking about that. I've been reading this book by Mark Batterson called Whisper. And that's all I've been talking about for 2 months is whisper. And how do you hear a whisper? Do you guys remember? You got to lean in. If someone wants to tell you a secret, they want to whisper you something, you got to get close. Guys, if we want to hear God speak to us in a whisper, we got to lean in. We got to get close. We got to be quiet. I like the fact that God was right there in the cave with Elijah. You know what? Sometimes you and me, we got to get into a cave. But here's good news. God ain't afraid to come into our cave of fears. God's not afraid to come into our cave of doubts. God's not afraid to come into our cave of addictions. God's not afraid to come into our cave of depression. He's not afraid to come into our cave of shortcomings. He speaks in a whisper. He's close. He's not distant. Our God is not alive. Our God is here with us. He's here with us. Now, I don't know what you brought here today. What pain, what confusion. But I do know this. Each and every one of you and me need to hear God's voice. And I know if we need to hear God's voice, we need to slow down. And we need to leave some margin for him and listen for his voice. Then the next thing we need to do is this. Slow down to respond in prayer. Slow down to respond in prayer. This is your turn to talk now. We've read God's word, and now we pray, we talk. We say back to God what he has said to us. Y'all know what I'm talking about now, because I don't want to call it arguing what sometimes husband and wife do. Y'all know what I mean by that? And you say, honey, I hear what you're saying, or I understand what you're saying. Like I said, I don't want to call it arguing, so let's just call it intense fellowship. Y'all heard of intense fellowship? When you say, honey, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying. This is what I'm asking you to do is have some intense fellowship with God here. After you've read his word, you say, I understand your word. I've read your words. This is what I want to talk to you about, Lord. Don't be afraid to engage your emotions. The Bible is an emotional book. It says, love the Lord God with all your heart. It's not some dry, unemotional level of talk. The Bible is filled with emotions, so engage them. God has emotions. Tell him how you feel. You know, what's on your mind? This may take more than one conversation. And I'm going to tell you, your prayers don't have to be fancy. It's a private conversation. Just be you. Just be who God made you to be. And you know, your prayers don't even have to be out loud. Your prayers don't even have to be spoken. Look at this next verse, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my what? Sigh. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. He said, listen to my words. He said, listen to my sighing, listen to my crying. This is three different ways to pray. Sometimes all you can do is sigh. You ever been there? Sometimes all you can do is cry. Sometimes, and other translations call it groan. Sometimes you don't know what words to use. You just groan. I got news for you. This is going to just tear up some of you teachers. Prayers don't even have to be in complete sentences. Be honest. Be open with God with what's going on. Here's the bottom line. I want you to write this down. The ultimate objective is not to study about Christ, but to spend time with him. The ultimate objective of a quiet time is not to study about Christ, but to spend time with him. We become like the people that we spend time with. If you spent time with me, lots of time with me, you would have a command of the English language. You would begin to dress like me, one with lots of class. We become who we spend time with. Now, I want to wrap this up real quick. For some of you type folks that need kind of a step-by-step process, I know that's not for everybody, but some folks like this. Write this down real quick. It's going to take 2 minutes. Number one, it's in a 15 minutes time alone with God, how to do a quiet time, write this down. The first minute, you relax. Relax. Before you open your Bible, open your heart. Just relax. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Just breathe. Drink a cup of coffee. Relax. Relax. The second thing is this. You read. After you've opened your mind, your heart, you read. And I even wrote down there 4 minutes. Take 4 minutes to do this. So what I'm saying is let God start. Let's start reading in something. And I would even suggest this. If you guys say, well, where do I start? Start in the book of Matthew. Start in the book of Matthew. Now, the book of Matthew, I want to tell you, the first 17 verses are like, it's all begats. It's the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's almost like a Jewish phone book. It's a bunch of people in there, but you can get through that and start in verse 18. If you want to, you know, I don't want to tell you to skip that, but if you don't want to read a phone book, go to verse 18. Amen? Go to verse 18. And I would suggest this. Don't just skip around. Don't just skip around. Read it till you get to the end of Matthew. You know, and what I mean by that is let God end his thought. Read the whole book of Matthew first. But you can just read one verse. Psalm 119, 18 says, open my eyes to see the wonderful things in your word. In your word. The third thing I want you to do, this is another 4 minutes, is to reflect. This is just have that intense meditation. Meditate on what you just read. Think about what this passage says to you. How does this work in the light of what's going on in my life right now? Psalm 119, 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Now, this is the next one. I want to talk to you folks about this. This is where the millennials may not agree with me. Record. Right? Record. The fourth thing is record. Just 2 minutes. This is a journal. This is why I say take a pencil with you. Take your Bible with you, one that you can write in the margins, one that you can underline stuff. And writing brings out clarity. You know, write down what your thoughts are. Be a doer of the word. Create some kind of record so that you can apply it to your daily living. I'm talking about a journal or write down in your Bible. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's not just for your benefit. Let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet be created may praise the Lord. My son's name is Luke Holland Pinkert. Holland stands for my mother's maiden name. Her dad was DeWitt Holland. I never met him. He was my granddad. He died in 59. I was born in 61. I never met him. But Luke has inherited his Bible from my mother. And in the margins of that Bible is written some stuff. DeWitt Holland, who never met his great-grandson, is influencing his great-grandson, even though he never met him, through his writing in the margins of that Bible. I have two Bibles that I write in and I study from. I'm going to give one to Sarah and one to Luke. They're going to get the benefits of what I've gone through and my thoughts. They get to see how the Lord has answered my prayers, how I've studied the Bible and how they're going to come into my thoughts and into my mind. They're going to see that their dad was not as perfect as he thought or they thought he was. Amen. Because one of these days they're going to go through the same struggles. And they're going to see who at times of their life they thought their dad was Superman. That he was hurt. But the word of God. That's why I like that song, You Say. You say I am weak. Or they say I am weak, but you say I'm strong. You say, your writings, your quiet times could benefit generations that you will never see. That you will never see. Take a pencil with you. Let this be written for a future generation. That a people not yet be created may praise the Lord. My kids and grandkids, who knows? Number five, the last thing. At the end of your time, put your request in. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Here's your prayer request. Pray for the folks you love. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Write your prayers down. The word of God teaches us the will of God. The more you know God's word, the more you know God's will. The more you know God's will, the more you'll be praying according to God's will. You'll be praying biblically. The more you pray according to the will of God, the more you'll see the answer to your prayers. So, slow down, read God's word. Slow down and hear God's voice. Slow down and respond in prayer. Let's pray. My Lord, I thank you for this time that we've had alone. And I pray for my church today. I pray as we gather around the schools in Bartow County that we will pray for the students and faculty and administration. We'll pray that you'll be glorified in the schools here 2018 and 19. Lord, and I pray for Chase today as he's battling a headache. I pray that you'll touch him, that it'll be gone soon. Lord, bless us. We love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.